Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 2 of Proverbs. I'll begin by reading, but I want to make a statement about Proverbs. I've made statements last week, and I'll probably make statements all the way through. That's how you teach. Proverbs is something that builds, and this book was written of Proverbs probably over a long period of Solomon's life. It was a progressive building and a learning of knowledge. What he learned early, he wrote first and then go on through. And it's like the building blocks of a house. You build the foundation before you set the house on it. So we got to realize that you don't just take, okay, this is the second day of the month, or today's the 14th, so I'd go teach the 14th day of the month, and that's wisdom for that day. That's not true. It's wisdom for every day. But without starting from the beginning and getting the foundation laid in what he instructed us, then the rest of it really wouldn't make a lot of sense. And you're going to see there's repetition through the book of Proverbs. There's going to be a lot of repetition. Why would God tell you something more than once? It's important. First of all, that should draw your attention to it. But repetition can help you remember it. See? Helps you learn, helps you remember. So you're going to see things that are repetitious, and you're going to see lots of words in here that are mistranslated, but we need to see what they really say, and it makes a difference. You know, just reading words on a page is not what this is about. It's assimilating this into our lives and laying it in the foundation of our understanding and our thinking. Once we do that, then when the next one comes along, we got something to lay it upon, don't we? If we don't have that first one grounded and put in solid into the foundation, then when we start to lay the walls up or the floors up, something's not going to be level and square, is it? So we have to pay attention and build this thing and let it build in your understanding as we go through it. I'll begin reading chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you and understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with her words, which forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go there go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Okay, back to the first part again. Actually, these things are not divided by chapters, except that we can memorize, you know, and study better. So it's all just a big letter coming through. And so it's tied directly to... Beg pardon? The Living Bible does that a lot.
Yeah, it was nice to read it.
Yeah, and it just flows through, and that's what this basically is. We're doing it for teaching purposes only. It's broke up like this. Man did this to it. So, but this second chapter actually is tied to that first chapter. At the end it says, but whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, or dwell permanently in safety, and shall be at rest from the terror of evil. Evil makes people afraid. Would you agree? So to be free from that, we need to hearken unto him, and then we can remain in safety permanently. That's the whole key. And then he turns around and says, my son, if you receive my words and not hide them, but store them up. Hiding them means like nobody knows you got them, but not a good word. But store them up, store up my commandments, not with you, but within you. If I take his words and store them in me, where would they might, maybe you could find them? Between my ears? Huh? In the thinking process? So he's telling you to store it in your mind, so when you go to find a response to something, what might you use? If you put the good stuff in, the good stuff's coming out. If you put garbage in, garbage will come out. So he's saying, put it within you, store it up, and if that storehouse is filled up, then what's going to come out? Remember the teaching about the water pots in John chapter 2? When you fill the water pots, the clay pots, which we are, with water, which is the word, to the top, it automatically becomes what? Wine or revelation. It's the same thing what God's telling you right here, same principle. If you fill these things yourself up with these words that I have given you for wisdom, and that example I gave you was John chapter 2, the wedding feast, you know. But if you will stack these things up in your thought process, when something comes against you, you know what'll come out? That'll be the first thing that kicks out, because that's what's within you. You've put the seeds of God's word in you, it's going to produce a fruit in your life. And he says, if you do this, if you store these things up within you, my commandments within you, you will incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. See, if you store these up, you're going to make some good decisions. You're going to listen to what God says. You're going to hear the Spirit of God talking within you. You won't have to come to a preacher and say, what should I do? Because you are going to have the ability within yourself, because you already have it, you just haven't believed it yet. That's where most people are. They don't believe that they have that ability within them to talk to God and hear God. And see, religion has done nothing but tell people, if you come to this pulpit, then that's where you'll get your understanding. You get your understanding from within your own self, within the God that dwells within you. That answer is within you, isn't it? And you'll apply your heart or your mind to understanding. When it says apply your heart, we know that that's not that blood pump in our chest, but it's our thinking process with understanding.
You'll be getting direction from the Lord.
Absolutely. By the Spirit of God, you get your direction, not from a man.
He's a light that lights my path.
Yep. He's a light. He's a lamp unto my feet, and a path. He's a light unto my path, or something like that. Something close to that. We'll get to it here before long. Okay, verse 3, because if you cry after, the first word should be because if you cry after not knowledge but discernment, the word should be discernment, cry after discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, that's understanding and discernment, and search for her as hid treasures, he said these are conditional things. If I really want to know God, I have to search after wisdom, understanding, discernment, right? I've got to do it. I got to seek it. That means I can't just lay down on the floor and be a couch potato and get everything from God. And see, the whole church world has said, come up here, brother, let me lay hands on you. Zap. Okay, you got it. Now you're smart. You know everything about God. You don't transfer by touching someone, understanding, wisdom, and instruction, and experience, do you? It would be wonderful, but it would do you no good. There would be no purpose in God if everything would just instant zap you and you got it. And that's the church's desire, that it's never going to happen. You know, all the men and women of God that he used in the Bible, none of those people did he just zap and immediately they were all perfect. They all had experiences in life that trained them and taught them how to live and do things, didn't they? Most of the time they needed discipline, just like we need discipline. And when we run from it, we're just going to get in more trouble. That's all. Yeah, passive. It's not passive. It's aggressive. Yeah. Okay. You're right. He said, then, verse 5, you shall discern, not understand, but discern the reverence of the Lord. And then you will what? The word find is wrong. Then you will learn the knowledge of God. See, knowledge is something you learn, isn't it? You store it up, right? So when you discern the reverence of God, when you realize how important it is to revere God in your life, you will find knowledge, the knowledge of God. If you're being disrespectful to someone, how much knowledge could you gather from them if you disrespect them? If you had a teacher that was teaching you that you did not respect, how much would you learn? You've got it shut off yourself, see? And when people are disrespectful to someone, they can learn nothing. They really can't. It's not the teacher's fault. Maybe the teacher did something, but if I let someone make me mad, then I can never learn from that process. All it is going to be is punishment to me. Might as well go home. Yeah. Sure. It's a progressive. Stack it on the first one you got, and stack it on the second one, third one, right on down the line. It's not instant.
Yeah.
It's a progressive. Isn't everything about God progressive? For nearly everything, at least, I would say.
Well, I was getting it,
it's not an instant thing. No. Verse 6 should be because the Lord gives wisdom. Now, he didn't say he makes you earn it, did he? He said he gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See? So the words of God. Now, everybody thinks God has to come down and big fat old gray-haired, white-haired man with a beard sitting on a big golden throne is going to come down and talk to you. That's an absurd imagination, but most of the church world has it. The words out of the Lord's mouth, are we not his? Is this mouth not his? Yeah, but didn't he purchase us? So we're his, so my mouth belongs to who? He can speak through my mouth or anybody else's mouth. He spoke through a dumb ass in the Old Testament. He spoke through some wise people. See? So it could be either way. But anyway, it's about him. It's his mouth, and knowledge can come from a lot of different directions, okay? Verse 7, he goes on and says, he stores up sound wisdom for the righteous. That means he reserves it not for everyone. Hello? The first fruit is who he stores it up for. We'll get to that. But he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler. What's a buckler mean?
Shield.
Huh? It's a shield is what it should be. See, and what is a shield?
It's protection.
Protection, see. So he's protection to them that live, not walk uprightly, but live with integrity. Sure he did. He was his shield to him. He was his protection. And he says he's a protection to them. He protects them that their course of life is upright or faithful. Okay? Well, that's the next verse. I'm down the wrong one. It says, he's to them that walk upright or live with integrity in verse 7. In verse 8 it says, and he guards the paths of judgment and preserves or protects the course of life of his what? Or his faithful. King James likes that word saints, but it wasn't there. Faithful should be really a better word for it. Then shall you understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. Now, we got to go over this. We got to go over that. That's not, you just can't read that and let it go. He just told you some things about it. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's protection to them that live with integrity. He guards the paths of judgment. He protects the course of life of his faithful. And then shall you, when he does that, then you shall discern righteousness. You will be able to discern it. Is that asking somebody what's going on? Then that's saying you will have the ability to discern these things. You will discern righteousness, judgment, and equity. Now, what is the word equity? Some people think equity is what you build up in your house or some property you have that gets more money, worth more money. And that's one understanding of it. But the main verse, the thrust of this thing is equity is being equal or impartial and fair. So equity is being just or impartial and fair to people. And as first fruit, what are the first fruit called to do? Are they not called to judge the world? Did Paul say, know you not that you will judge the world and even angels? In 1 Corinthians 6. See, so if we're called to judge, we have to be impartial, fair, and just to everyone. Not just because we like someone, but no matter whether we like, dislike, don't like what they're doing, like what they're doing, we still have to be fair with them, don't we? That's the nature and the character of God. When He came and we did not deserve any good treatment, He treated us fairly and justly, didn't He? No matter what our lifestyle was like. Yea, every good what? Path. Or every good course. We got to understand everybody's course. You have to understand that just because my course is different from your course doesn't make yours wrong or mine right. It means it's my course and your course is for you. We need to understand everybody has a course and they're not exactly the same, are they? And God made us all different, so why would He try to make us all walk the exact same path? It just doesn't make sense. Nothing fits there. God's got a plan and everybody does what God wants and that fulfills the plan. If, like Paul said in the New Testament, if everyone was the hearing, where would the seeing be? See, there's a purpose for each one of us, and we've got to let God do whatever He wants to do, not try to fight Him about it, not trying to shape you into something that God didn't shape you in, but what we want you to be in, but what God wants you to be in. That's my goal.
The journey's still going to end at the same place.
Sure, but there's a different journey. The journey getting there is a little different path maybe, but it'll get you to where you're going. And it's for you.
We cannot look at it through natural eyes, just outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to look at all the situations through God's eyes. We've got to elevate our mind.
Right.
And see it as God's.
How many of the priests would have thought David would have qualified to be God's chosen man? He was a murderer, adulterer, fornicator, everything, thief, liar, everything you could think of. But yet God said, no, those things are fulfilling my purpose. I can't condemn anybody where they're at. I can't. Because it's God's in control. And God doesn't condemn you either. He says God's the one that justifies you. He can't be a condemner and a justifier. Okay, verse 10. Because wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. He said because of these things, because wisdom enters into your heart or your mind, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. When I enjoy the knowledge of God, and I do, I mean, it keeps me going. Without it, I probably wouldn't be alive today. I'm positive of that. But that's not why I'm doing it. It's because I really enjoy it. I love it. And it says, when you love this, and it's pleasant to your soul, discretion or purpose shall preserve you. See, discretion doesn't tell me much, but purpose tells me something. And the word should be purpose. Purpose shall preserve me. When I understand about God, when His wisdom enters into my heart and the knowledge of His is pleasant to my soul, I understand then God begins to show me a purpose. And when I see the purpose in my life, in which I know my purpose, then what else? It's going to preserve me. God told me I'd die an old man of natural causes. So guess what? Didn't He tell Paul? He said, Paul, you're going to go to Rome and preach before kings. When Paul was on the ship, if he hadn't heard those words prior, where do you think Paul's mind would have been? When he was in the ship for 14 days, up and down in waves and hadn't seen the sun in 14 days, where do you think his mind would have been? It'd have been in a gutter with everybody else. Fear and terror would have terrorized him. But he stood up and said, fear not. So the angel of the Lord stood beside me and told me, there's going to be no loss of life. Because he stood up and wasn't afraid, God said, see, I've protected you. I'll protect your way of life. I got your path set for you. You heard what I said, so you know you can't die out here in this ship. You have to go to Rome. You have to do what I want. So it's a security net. It's driving you to do exactly what you're supposed to. I cannot leave until I get this done. See, I can't check out of this world until I get it done. That's a wonderful thing. See, and he says, when you get these things in you, that purpose will preserve you, and understanding shall protect you. When you understand this, it will protect you. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen. I don't care what the economy is going to do. I don't care what hurricanes, tornadoes, flash floods, volcanoes. I don't care what any of it. It's been going on since the beginning of time. I hate to see people hurt. I hate to see people die. But you know, when you stand up on the coast of the Gulf down there and look at something the size of Texas, and they said this storm was the size of Texas, doing it 110 miles an hour coming right at you, and say, I think I can beat this thing. That is insane. That's totally insane. So if you die, God didn't kill you. You were stupid. You know, and stupid has got a place, and it's in the graveyard. That's where it should be. I can't help it. That's just the way it is. You got to get away from that stuff and listen to what God tells you. Use the understanding He give you. Common sense, you know. It was ego. I can beat this thing. I'm going to stay here and protect my stuff. Yeah. Yeah, even if you don't have insurance, it doesn't make any difference. If you're dead, what difference does it make? You'd be dead right, wouldn't you? Verse 12, and it says, it will deliver you from the what? The lifestyle of the evil man or evil. It'll deliver you from the lifestyle of evil or wickedness. And from the man that speaks perverse things. Now look, it's going to deliver you from the lifestyle of that. If I get these things of God in my heart, it's going to deliver me from this lifestyle of perverseness, of cheating, of lying and stealing and deception. You know, see, that's the things that it changes from you. It protects you. If my mind is thinking, it's programmed into God's thinking, this mind of Christ, how can I possibly get tangled up in the affairs of the world? Beg pardon?
His promises that you won't want to do all this.
Well, you won't have any desire for it.
It's not all part. Mm-hmm.
It was cut out. It's gone. I can't draw anything from that source anymore, see? And that's what he's trying to tell you. It's a beautiful thing when you understand it, but there's some responsibility to us, isn't there? We have to store these things up. Okay, where to leave off there? 12. Notice that it will deliver you these things. If I do these things and let wisdom enter into my heart, knowledge is pleasant to my soul, and my purpose will preserve me, and understanding will protect me, and it will deliver me from the lifestyle of evil or wicked, and from the man that speaks, or the Adam man that speaks perverse things. Now, who is the thing I'm trying to be delivered from?
Myself.
Thank you. The only problem we have is ourselves. And the way we feel, you know, we get into pity parties, we just get angry, we get all these low self-esteem, all these things beating us up. But guess what? We don't have to put up with it. All we have to do is cut off that source. See, quit listening to that negative side all the time. Hear what God says, the positive things. You're holy, you're righteous, you're unblameable, you're not guilty, you're sons of God. Not children of the devil, like most people think they are. And it says, these people, they leave the paths of uprightness to live in the lifestyle of ignorance and death. They leave the path of uprightness or righteousness to live in the lifestyles of ignorance and death.
But they're not aware of it.
But they're not aware of it. I agree with you. No, they're not aware of it. But that doesn't change the fact of where they're at, does it? They're living a lifestyle of ignorance and death.
That's kind of what ignorance is.
Absolutely. It's being dark.
They're not aware.
No. Well, they know what's right and wrong only in the sense of what man says is right and wrong. They really don't have the consciousness of what God says. Because even some of the things that man says is right and wrong would not compare to what God says is right and wrong. Because man looks at it and says, okay, somebody did you wrong, so it would be right to punish that person to get it equal again, to retaliate against it. God says no. No, no. See, so you can't even say, they're looking at it with a natural understanding, and I understand what you're saying there. There's some things that's what's so confusing about it. We have to hear it by the Spirit of God, and His things are totally different from theirs. They can only sometimes take their mind and wrap around a little piece of it and try to obtain it for themselves or attain it to make it sound spiritual. Doesn't Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 or 1 or 2 says, that the natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God. And what would nothing entail? That would encompass, they would, anything of anything. They can't receive anything from the Spirit of God. Neither can they, because it's spiritually discerned. They're trying to make things fit with their carnal understanding, and you can't do it. It's just absolutely, this book is a spiritual book, written to spiritual people by the Spirit of God who inspired spiritual men to write it down. And so when we interpret this thing, we have to let the Spirit that's within us interpret this thing back to us. Okay, where'd I leave off there? 14. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the what? The perversity is the exact word it should be. The perversity of the wicked. They rejoice. They like doing it. You know, kind of like the guy that went to the pig pen and eat corn shucks. I had a guy one time. You know, it's in the scriptures. Prodigal son. In Luke. Okay. But I had a man one time tell me that we was in church together. And he was really struggling. And I won't mention his name. But I saw him and he was really in a bad situation. And he knew he was in a bad situation. But you know what the man said to me? He said, "Don't worry about me, Dave. I like corn chucks. I like the pig pen." He knew what he was saying, see. But did he really know, or was he just saying words? Well, he was saying words and saying, "I already understand what you got, but the pig pen ain't so bad." He ain't been there long enough yet. You know. Yeah, he was. A little bit of arrogance in there. But it's okay. See, he didn't really understand. Look at verse 15. Their ways are what? Or literally, false or perverted. Their ways are perverted or false. And they froward in their paths, right? They're devious in their paths is exactly what it should say. They're devious. That means they're deceptive, dishonest, doesn't it? In their paths or their courses of life. To deliver you from the strange woman. And all these things happen. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress, not the stranger, but the adulteress. And an adulteress is not speaking about sexual improprieties. This is the parable. This is something he's using as an analogy to something else. And he's saying this stranger or this adulteress, an adulteress or a prostitute or a harlot, all these names you can come up with, speaks of a woman who is not faithful to her man, would you agree? And which is our soul, which is not faithful to our man Christ when we start out, is it? And we have to learn faithfulness. Which flatters or deceives with her words. See, our woman will always try to deceive. Just like Adam's woman in the garden did deceive, you know. She listened and got him to bite, didn't she? Got him to buy into her way. Verse 17, which forsakes the guide or what? Well, the word guide here literally in the Hebrew language says which forsakes her intimate friend, could be her companion, her intimate friend. Who is my intimate friend? The Christ within me. See, she bailed out on her man. She was not faithful because she wanted to do it her way. Now, you know how many people in the world are like that today? Most. Even when they go to church, they're still unfaithful to their man. They're still adulteresses. They're still unfaithful to Christ. And going to church on Sunday morning, or putting money in the basket, or eating communion, or being baptized is not being faithful to Christ, is it? These are rituals that man came up with. It says, okay, verse 7, which forsakes the intimate friend of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Well, you know what God's covenant is? He made it to Abraham. What was the covenant he made? Abraham, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed, right? If all families are blessed, then who is that encompass? Everyone. See, they forgot that. They forgot the gospel. And it says in Galatians 3, 8, 7, 8 or something like that, it says, The scripture foreseeing, let me read that to you. Galatians 3, I think it's 8. Let me read 7, 8, 9. Verse 7 says, Galatians 3, 7, 8, 9. Know ye therefore that they which are from faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. Okay, the father. The sons of the father. And the scripture foreseeing, verse 8, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before or ahead of time the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now notice something. He said this is the gospel. He preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. There's the true gospel.
All families.
All families. Not part of them, all of them. They just don't see it, and I understand. 18. Because her house inclines or literally sinks to death. And what's the house we're talking about? Her body. Yeah. It sinks into death and her path to the dead. Her path is to the dead. None that go to her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. When you decide that you want to just stay out there and wallow in the world, God's not going to make you come back the other way. Eventually you'll be reconciled, but you're not going to walk in life and peace now. You know when I live? Now. And now is when I need life and peace, not somewhere down the road after I'm dead from this life. I need it now. And said, none of them that go to her, to the soulish side, ever return. Verse 20, that you, cross out that word mayest, King James, to doubt again, that you may, shouldn't even be there, that you live in the what? The way or the lifestyle of good men, and keep or protect the paths of the righteous. He said, that's what this is all for. Keep away from that harlot. Keep away from the unfaithful woman, the soulish side of your life. And you know what you'll do? You'll walk or live in the lifestyle of good men, and you will protect the paths of the righteous. Verse 21, because the upright or the righteous shall dwell permanently in the land, and the perfect, and what is perfect? Again, that's ones with integrity. And the ones with integrity shall remain in it. Remember a while ago when we brought up the word integrity in the seventh verse? The ones that walk with integrity or walk in integrity. And he's telling the same thing down here. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors or the deceitful and the unfaithful is what it should say, shall be rooted out of it. The deceitful and the unfaithful will be rooted out of it. It kind of blows the theory of their rapture about the good people going away. Because this says the upright shall remain in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. And the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors rooted out.
They're not even talking about land.
No, I understand. But their whole rapture theory is based on fallacy anyway, so they can't see the truth of this whole thing. I said, even if the letter of the word tells them. And if you go into, what is it, Proverbs 10? I think Proverbs 10 has another verse. Verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. See, I mean, it's going against what they're teaching, though, that the wicked's going to be taken away, and it's not true. And Proverbs 11, I think, has another one toward the end of the verse. Yeah, verse 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. He didn't say anything about getting out of the earth, did it? Getting away, flying away, escaping. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that subject. We're talking about the good things of Proverbs, and that's just some of the perversion that people teach about Proverbs, and I'll let it go at that.